Home of Greece and Echoes, the longest-running Greek-American program in the country.
Oh, once again, good morning to you all, and thank you for sending your radios to 1550 AM in Boston and our signal around the globe on our websites, GrecianEchoes.com and WNTN.com. Again, broadcasting out of our Orestes T. Dimitriadis studios in Needham, Massachusetts. I'm Teddy Dimitriadis along with Nicoleta Papadoyani, and joining us on the telephone, a fabulous contributor to our program, Mr. David Palaiologos, Suffolk University Political Research Center. And a poll which was unveiled this morning, if I'm not mistaken, around 7 a.m. With the Boston Globe. Much discussed. Joe Biden, Warren was discussed. Bridge safety, some of the issues. So I'm going to just defer to our good friend and fill us in on what's going on in the life of Dave Palaiologos in Suffolk University.
Good morning.
Good morning. Kalimera.
Γεια σου, Dave. Μεγάλη μας τιμή και χαρά. Thank you so much.
Yes. My pleasure. Yeah, so we were we posted in the Globe today, and no surprise about what the top issues to Massachusetts voters were. People are concerned about democracy, they're concerned about immigration, and they're concerned about the economy. And one of the questions I was thinking about before putting the poll out in the field was, who do people hold most responsible for this immigration crisis locally in Massachusetts? You know, you hear a lot of talk about it. You know, it's the governor's issue. The governor has to house these people, and it's putting a burden on cities and towns and all of that. But what we found out was that Governor Healey's not really being held responsible for this problem. People are saying it's a D.C. problem. It's either the president or Congress, and that she's doing the best she can given the laws that are in place right now. So I think a lot of the chatter about, oh, this is a bad situation for Governor Healey, really hasn't taken form yet. It may at some point, but at this point in time, it really hasn't.
David, can we expand on this? You know, I live in my little bubble in Scituate in my neighborhood, and I hear that there's a hotel, you know, 16 miles west of me in Kingston that's housing, you know, and I think that the majority of our listening, or at least this particular listening audience, is in a similar bubble. You know, we're not interacting with these people. We're not seeing them. But they're real, and the numbers are high. And I do read, you know, that millions and millions of dollars are being dispersed, you know, to hotels, to restaurants, to feed them. So there is some kind of a, you know, plan that's going on right now. It's just maybe a little bit invisible to us. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people understand that Massachusetts is the only state in the nation that has a what's called a right-to-shelter law. And a right-to-shelter law requires our state to quickly provide shelter and other necessities to homeless parents with children, pregnant women, but now more and more migrant families who are arriving in Massachusetts. So what's happened is people have come to Massachusetts knowing that because of this state law, they have a right to receive shelter and other necessities. And people support the
schools
law.
Schools, too, entering into school systems,
yeah,
as well, the whole Monty?
Yeah, yeah. And so what's happened is, a result is that there's now 18,000, it's basically the town of Winchester, 18,000 people are now currently housed in that hotel down the street from you, or down in Kingston, and in, you know, other places, other hotels, small hotels, and in current shelters and recreation centers. Yeah. And it's going to cost our state $1 billion, mm-hmm, one, not million, $1 billion over the next fiscal year to maintain this program, because there's been a strain. So the thinking was, this is probably going to hurt the governor and state legislators and state officials, but it's not. People know that everybody here is dealing with the state law that we have, trying to live up to the, you know, to the intent of the law, which is to give people shelter. But at some point, it's going to impact all of us in some way, because we just don't have an extra $1 billion sitting around.
And I have to say, and you're right, Dave, that of course we respect the law, but at the same time, there are plenty of people that I have heard saying that, you know, where we came to Winchester for the schools, and now the schools are full with children. We want less people in the classes. We want so there are some reactions. I have this impression.
There are reactions, and there are political implications, because a lot of young parents, especially women, you know, young women who are parents, are being directly impacted, and those are Biden voters for the most part, a lot of them. That's the dilemma, really, of trying to be compassionate to people who don't have means. You know, they've left an awful situation in their country. They risked their lives to come here. They crossed the border illegally. A lot of Greeks did, too, you know, many, many years ago. Now they're here. They want to work. And they're trying to find a place to live and all the rest of it. But what's happened, because we're the only state in the country that has this right to shelter law, more people are coming here.
David, do we have more, do we have more per capita than any other state as a result of this law? And is this law, I mean, this is, you know, this is disturbing information in a sense. There's empathy for sure, you know. They're here because they're trying to find their own independent freedom. But on the same token, you know, the law, the, you know, right to shelter is a complete opposite of, you know, any type of, you know, law on borders.
Right. So, and that's a great point, because we tested in this poll the right to shelter law. And what we found was that only 36% of the people said, without question, they strongly support the law, 36%. Other groups of people, a majority, said they support the law, but they think that there should be a limit as to how long families can stay in emergency shelters, and that the migrants should not be covered. So what the majority of people are saying is, okay, I'm compassionate too. I want to help families too, but not if they're here illegally, not if they're migrants, or not if they just plan on staying at a hotel for the next 10 years. There's got to be an off-ramp at some point. So what we're learning is that the support of the law unconditionally is not the majority of the people. Only 36% support the right to shelter law unconditionally.
Do we have any idea when this law was written?
I'm not sure, but the economic burden has been in over the last 2 years. Now, Moore Healey, the governor, was elected 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So when she was sworn in, that's when the influx began, really, because the border was breaking down. I think more per capita is Texas, by the way, Teddy, mm-hmm. because, you know, people come
it's
over the border and they settle someplace. But, you know, the thinking was that this was her problem now, that she has to figure that out. And I don't think voters will turn on her unless she goes to the legislature and says, we either have to repeal this law that we have, the right to shelter law, for everybody, or we have to raise taxes. And I think when people get whacked with those choices, that's going to be a tough decision.
Yeah. All right, next on the polls, what else was hot this morning?
So no surprise, Biden is really way up over Trump. You know, he's going to win Massachusetts. We'll win the electoral votes. But his job approval is mixed. It was Biden's approval was only 50 approve and 45 disapprove. So what that tells us is that even though a lot of people in Massachusetts disapprove of his job performance, if given the choice between he and Trump and the others that are running, he would win easily. I mean, RFK, the independent, is getting around 8 or 9%. In this most recent poll, and is that's that, about what he polls
is that Massachusetts
at.
Massachusetts, or is that national?
This is Massachusetts.
This is Massachusetts.
It's also what he's polling at nationally, and it kind of matches what we found as well.
Now,
to be in the presidential debates, if they do debate, you have to be polling at 15%. So that's going to put pressure on him to spend some money, RFK, and to have a bigger presence in terms of poll percentages. And then Elizabeth Warren, a lot of people don't realize, is up for re-election. Senator Elizabeth Warren, she's the senior senator from Massachusetts.
Any opposition? I haven't even heard anything.
Yeah, so there are four Republicans who have set up a website and taken out nomination papers. A lot of people haven't heard of any of them. Robert Antonellis, Ian Cain, John Deaton, and Aaron Packer. Nobody really knows them, but we did run Elizabeth Warren against just a generic Republican nominee, whoever one of those four, I'm sure, and she was ahead by 20 points, 53-33, which, you know, with 11% undecided. So her margin, she's a little weaker against the Republican than Biden would be against Trump, depending on who her opponent is, but still a comfortable lead in the poll.
If she wins, will this be her second or third term?
So she won she filled Senator Kennedy's term in 2010 Scott Brown won in 2010.
Yeah.
She ran against him in 2012, and he was the incumbent Republican senator. She beat him. And then she won re-election in 2018, and now, so she's been in for two terms. This would be her third,
yeah,
if she would have won.
Yeah. Interesting.
We also found in the poll that people believe that Massachusetts needs to be more transparent. It's the only state in which the governor and the state legislature and the judiciary are all exempt from public records requests. So people want that to be changed. There's like 77% said that we need to have more transparency and that there should be audits available for that. There's a ballot question on the ballot about the legislature being audited. That's overwhelmingly supported. And then there's the economy. You know, people see the Massachusetts economy okay. It's not great, but excellent good combined was 45%. Fair and poor combined was 43%. So that's kind of a mixed bag, but a little bit better than the U.S. economy. People see the U.S. economy, from our vantage point, worse than the state economy.
Boy, you've been busy as a bee, Dave Paleologos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun. We're going to be going out in the field. I want to do a survey on the protests that have been happening, and nobody's got poll numbers on it. So I was back and forth with USA Today yesterday. And we hadn't planned on doing another national survey until June. But we're going to throw together a quick, short national poll. They want to test the impact of celebrities on voters, whether or not a certain celebrity might push a voter to vote for a candidate, given that the race is so close. And I want to push a few questions on college campus protests. So we decided yesterday that we were going to throw a poll together over the weekend, and we'll put it out in the field next week, and we'll release it probably first week in May. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really timely, and I think a lot of people want to know what's going on and what people in the country feel about these protests.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, what kind of questions would you ask, David?
Well, you know, I think we've already asked whether people tend to side with the Palestinians or the pro-Israeli side. You know, we've also, I think we could also test the package. I think I would like to know, like, who bears responsibility mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. protest? You yeah. know, is it the college presidents for the chaos? Is it outsiders who are coming in? And I'd also like to find out whether people think that the funding and the organization of these coordinated protests comes from Hamas or comes from some, you know, group outside of the United States that's trying to coordinate, you know, a chaotic situation using college campuses. I mean, I was on the phone with Angela. You've seen USC in the news. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who are listening know my son Angelo goes to USC. And we were on the phone with him constantly, and he was he lives right there where the protests were happening. And he was, from his window, he was sending us videos of the protests and the arrests and everything. And it's scary as a parent, you know, because you know your son's in the middle of it. You know, he lives literally right next to the Hillel House, which is where the Jewish students congregate, and there's a little recreation area, so he's right in the middle of a hotbed, and as a parent, I'm nervous sure. about sure. his safety. But, you know, I mean, so, you know, I would like to know, you know, what voters think about the, I'm too close to it as a parent.
Of course, right. And at the same time, they protest about the war, but at the same time, they are talking about the loans from their colleges, you know, that they pay a lot of money about education. So it's a complex issue with the economy, too.
It is a complex issue. You know, we've had so much outreach by the Biden administration to forgive student loans and do all this other stuff. And now kids can't feel safe on campus. So
yes.
What good is it to have your loan forgiven if your son or daughter is going to get injured on campus?
On this college loan situation. So is this, what type of loans are we talking about forgiving? You know, I know that when I subscribed, you know, both my kids to school, you know, I had to go through the MEFA. And then the MEFA went through the process, and then I was hooked up with the bank. And quite frankly, I was paying like 6.5%, you know, for 25 years almost, you know, these loans. You know, the kids, and, you know, MEFA loans are still out there. What's the cap amount? There are kids with, on an undergraduate basis, that have accumulated, you know, at this point, almost $250,000 debt. If you don't have any money and you're not getting any scholarship and you're going to these schools that are 70 grand a year, you do the math, you know. There's not.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of criticism that Biden didn't do this sooner than later in his administration. And so the skeptics have said, you're just doing this to buy votes. But the idea, the original idea was, you know, let's give our young people a fresh start. But there are a lot of people who are parents who worked hard and didn't qualify for a loan. You know, I mean, I applied myself years ago for the FAFSA. You know, there's the FAFSA form, so you have to
yep.
get online and you have to put how much you make. And
Been there, done that.
Yeah, and so those FAFSA loans, you know, you have to meet certain criteria, your household size or this or that. And, you know, I mean, And if you don't qualify, you're on your own.
Well, you know, I'll go back. I remember, you know, it very well. You know, they listed real estate assets, and if your assets, you know, that's although right. they're not liquid at all, you know what I mean? And
right.
you know, sorry, pal. You know, you're yeah. on your own. Sell your house.
Right. And so the question is, as a voter, are you and others who didn't get the kinds of loans that were forgiven going to resent that action, that forgiveness of loans for people who did qualify?
Does this lead to a potential huge class action? I mean, if you look at the potential problem analysis on this, at least in my estimation, you got a lot going on there.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there's going to be class warfare at the polls too, because the problem for Biden to win again is he's got to have overwhelming support among young people, and because young people, this is kind of old news, and some parents may benefit from the loan forgiveness, but the students have been, in many cases, quite removed from it, or they just get the notice, you know, the loan notice, and they ignore it, or they pay the minimum, so they're detached. Those young voters are more interested in Palestine, the Palestinians, and the Israeli conflict. And those voters are withholding support from Biden and saying that they will vote third party. And that's got the president really nervous. And I think he's doing everything in his power to get AOC involved and other Democrats who appeal to young people to help him, because he just can't help himself. I mean, young people look at President Biden and there's no connection at all. Mm-hmm. He's that old, you know, Papu, who comes to dinner and, you know, says what he says, and you walk him to his chair and you sit him down and you give him some, you know, Greek cheese and olives and put him in front of the TV. I mean, that's the connection. Mm-hmm. There's no real, you know, people don't feel that Biden understands TikTok or Instagram or the issues that they're concerned about. And so that's the problem. For Biden.
TikTok, that came up in the news the last couple of days. What's the scoop on that? What's the skinny on this TikTok stuff?
Yeah, so there's been a movement afoot to ban TikTok, not today,
yeah.
but, you know, and so they're trying to figure that out, and Trump is trying to stake out a position that, you know, they shouldn't be banned. And, you know, Biden and the Democrats and some Republicans are basically saying, well, you know, I mean, China's got too much of an in, you know, the parent company is ByteDance, and they're in China, and, you know, there's a connection there, and they're a rival, and they can't be trusted, and they're indoctrinating our kids on TikTok. But, I mean, I don't know about you, but every young person I know is on either, you know, sharing TikTok videos or looking at them, viewing them, or on TikTok.
Listen,
themselves.
if you're on social media and if you scroll, and I would say that is a big percentage, including myself, because I do see some of it. You know, one of my favorite TikTok videos is this guy and this girl that dance, and you know, it's 30 seconds in length, and it's, you know, it puts a smile. You know, great dance steps. That's, I think it's TikTok, but it's. I think it's, and it's shared on either one or the other. I think on Facebook, I think it is. So they all intertwine.
So there's a market. So you and Nicoletta have to do a 30-second Greek dance.
There you go. Go viral.
Of
course. You're going to join us, too, huh?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That would
very
be
nice
great.
With your beautiful wife.
Yeah, David, it's always such a pleasure to have you joining us.
Και είμαστε πολύ πολύ περήφανοι που ο David, τον βλέπω έτσι στην τηλεόραση και όλα αυτά, και πόσο όμορφα νιώθω, έτσι. Ο David είναι ένας δικός μας άνθρωπος.
Σίγουρα και είναι. Από το Woben. How about the woman? How about the woman? Listen, we just got an email from our Alpha Omega brother, Harry Vlachos, tuning in. Said, great job today with David. So shout out to you from Harry as well. Listen.
Harry's the best.
He really is. He really is. David,
so
close.
We're so lucky to have him.
Yeah. I'll give it to you, some closing comments. You know, what's up as we draw closer to the summer and the elections? You know, what are we going to be talking about next month?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to have all the third-party conventions are going to happen first, and then the Libertarians are going to pick their nominee in May, and then the Greens are going to pick their nominee in June, and then in July, Trump and the Republicans will have their nominating convention.
What week is that? Do you have any idea when the July and August, the Republican?
Third week in July, third week in August and mid-July, I believe. Okay. And you're going to see, you'll see the whole spiel. We've been through it before, Teddy. The drill, but. Yeah. And then in the fall, we're going to know what state ballots have what candidates. And I just did a presentation for the Ford Hall Forum, and I basically said, everybody thinks this is Biden versus Trump, and mm-hmm. there's not going to be one state ballot that's only going to have two choices, Biden versus Trump. Not one.
Not one.
And the difference is those third-party candidates like RFK and these others, they always make the difference about who wins the state. So watch those third-party candidates, because even if it's 1 or 2% of the vote and those voters would have voted for Biden or those voters would have voted for Trump, that's going to matter. That's going to make the outcome. So, and then, of course, we have the Trump trials and all of that, the ongoing saga of all of the legal, the legal spider web that he's caught in right now.
Just a final question, David. The convention cities this year, do you know them off the top of your head?
Where are they? I think Milwaukee is one. I'll have to double check. But they're not nice, warm weather, places that we like to go. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Will you be going to those, probably?
Chicago, I think, might be one, too. Yeah. I'm not going to go. We've got a busy polling lineup.
Yeah,
and so we're not going to be doing that. I've got a City View Miami poll coming up with WSVN TV in Miami.
No time for vacation this summer for you.
He was on vacation about 6 weeks ago. He's all well.
You
rested.
Know
He's
everything,
ready to go.
Ted. Huh?
Yeah. I gotta say it. Well, I'm gonna close
of
with
course
this.
You know
I'm
everything.
Gonna close with this because David was. I'm not sure where he was. I forgot, but he sent me a picture of himself sunning himself with a Grecian Echo shirt on. Bravo, David. showing us off in some strange country. That was great. We appreciate it.
You can use me as a moving billboard any place I go.
There you go. David Palaiologos once again joins us here, Suffolk University. Listen, David, to you, to Gail, Arthur, Angelo, your wonderful Pethera, all your family, happy Easter, and we'll regroup right after the holiday. Thank you, David.
Bye-bye.
All right, a little music, and it'll take us past 11 o'clock. Don't forget, we're here till 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock noon, Mike Janity, a little Cape Cod happy hour with the music of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Κατάρα σε δέρμη